handle on the news. Late edition. Handle on the news.
Bill Handel, he is sick, and this needs to stop.
And now, here's Bill Handel.
All right. KFI Handel here on a March 22 Thursday. A lot to cover this morning, obviously. We always do. But today, some weird stories. YouTube. Mark Zuckerberg said, oh, of course, I'll appear in front of Congress. And a personal story. Bozo the Clown is dead. And I have a story about Bozo, and it's heartbreaking. My connection with Bozo the Clown. And it's up now. I did it earlier, and it's up on the website. For real. All right, Handle on the News, late edition. But first, we have a breaking story. And there's Jennifer Jones Lee.
We have just learned that President Trump's lead lawyer for dealing with the special counsel's Russia investigation has resigned. John Dowd had taken over Trump's legal team last summer. The New York Times claims that based on some unnamed source that Dowd was frustrated that the president seemed to be ignoring his advice. So Dowd told NBC News, I love the president and wish him very well.
So we have no idea why. Frustrated.
Like,
but who is it? Anybody who works for Trump on a personal level, on a governmental level, FBI, for example, Department of Justice, name the department and tell me who isn't frustrated with the president. And the closer you get, the more frustrated you are. Why? Because he just doesn't listen. I don't even know why he has advisors.
I feel like if you are one of his advisors, you should just set the bar really low.
I guess.
So that when he does take one of your pieces of advice, you go, wow. That way you're not disappointed all the time.
Yep. All right. Let's do it on Handle on the News Late Edition. The lead story is the storms.
I'm no stranger to the rain.
This is day two. Just a few minutes ago, we had a flash flood warning from the National Weather Service. And you heard that beep. And then talking about where the flash flood watches are. And part of it, of course, is real concern. Santa Barbara, Ventura counties, the burn areas, and the amount of mudslides that could happen. And it was brutal. You remember in January what happened? Well, they're saying, well, and we can't imagine that it could be worse than that, and it might be. And so the storm, the second part of the storm is coming in. The worst part of this storm is coming in, and we're going to be, I think we're okay here in L.A. and the San Fernando Valley where we are.
We'll get some heavy rain.
Yeah, we'll get some rain. Yesterday, I was having John Thomas, and we decided we were going to have a little bit of lunch. So we went downstairs, walking outside the door, and it was like someone was taking a garden hose from the roof and spraying it down. And so we immediately turned around and went down to our vending machine down the hall, and we had lunch there.
Well, we do. So a few things have changed just over the last half hour. Corona has issued mandatory evacuation orders for houses that are in that canyon fire burn area. And then the flash flood watch that was in the area of the Thomas Burn fire has been upgraded to a flash flood warning, which means it's imminent. So.
All right. And I'm assuming the more south you are, the better you are. Orange County, for example, and then south of that and north San Diego County. All right, let's move on.
Okay, this story, talk about a heartbreaking story. Police need your help in finding whoever shot a dog in somebody's yard.
Spend all your time waiting.
This dog, apparently the homeowner, here's how the story started. So officers went to this house after they heard this calls of shots fired. And turns out that apparently somebody just shot this dog that was in this man's front yard. The dog's name was Champ. And I heard the man talking about the dog earlier this morning, and he was saying that there was this German Shepherd that had just wandered into his yard, and he'd kind of been thinking about getting a dog years ago. And so it was sort of like it was a meant-to-be kind of thing. And then he goes out, he hears some scuffle or something outside, and then he figures Champ, his dog's going to go check it out, but there's nothing from Champ. So he walks outside, and Champ's been shot dead in the front yard.
And there's video of it. You could see the video on the KFI website on the local news page. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to be the one to say it then, because they interviewed this guy, and he said, you know, Champ was out there barking. That's what he's supposed to do. He's protecting the yard. You live in a neighborhood where the neighbors have dogs who rush people at the fence and bark all the time. There's going to be someone eventually who doesn't take kindly to it. All right. That man up in Sacramento was shot in his backyard, was carrying a cell phone. Not a weapon, not a burglary tool. Now, Stephen Clark is his name.
Now, here's a story. He's shot by the police. He's unarmed, and they didn't find any weapon on him. All right? So automatically, okay, the cops shoot someone for no reason kind of thing. Now let's look at what the police were doing at the time. They were responding to a call of someone there breaking windows. So they show up, and it's nighttime, and they order him to stop. And does the video show him actually taking his cell phone and doing something that could be interpreted that it's a weapon? And I don't know the answer to that.
No, but the helicopter cops said they saw him smash the sliding door window of a house. I think either next to his house or very near his house where he ended up. So they saw him smash that and they followed him and they knew that they had this guy who had done it. And but then when it was all over, he only had a cell phone.
Right.
But they claim that they were yelling, "Show me your hands, show me your hands." And then at that point, that's when one of the officers yelled, "Gun, gun, gun." But
and again, you're going to have the cam, the video cam. This is why you desperately need body cams that actually work at night, where it's very clear, and they have that technology. I don't know if they do it now. And it could help. Where you see how it can be interpreted. Okay, we'll take a break and come back. Finish
it. I think so.
Oh, no break. That's right.
Super segment.
Super segment. Yes. Do I make this mistake almost every time?
Yeah.
Here's what you have to do, Michelle, is write super segment backwards on my forehead so I can put up a mirror and it'll say super segment, much like an ambulance. When you see in the background, you know, ambulance written. So.
Is that because you're more likely to want to gaze at your face than to look at a piece of paper that says super segment?
No, I'm gazing at my forehead. My forehead, which is larger than most.
I guess there's more room to.
There certainly is. All right. Let's move on.
All right. If you were wondering, I don't know, how to build a gun, don't go to YouTube.
Do you want to build a
porno?
So we've been talking about this morning how YouTube had banned videos that show people how to manufacture or modify guns and that sort of thing. Well, now YouTube gun ban has driven bloggers to Pornhub. So, well, hold on. So I'm not going to go build a gun, but I'm going to go watch porn instead?
No, yeah. They're going to post the video of them showing you how to build the gun on Pornhub. Just like they
are. Makes absolute sense.
It makes no sense.
No.
How Pornhub somehow, unless you can go through Pornhub and click through and go to
a
website.
You have to search like for gun assembly.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I have a question.
On Pornhub.
I don't know because I'm a big fan of Pornhub. I used to be, I know people who are big fans, I've heard.
Right.
Big fans of Pornhub. And one of the things, a Marine, I love this, in terms of somehow misinterpreting anybody who's a Marine. Right. As they march. Mm-hmm. Right. With the weapons. This is your weapon. This is your gun. This is for killing. This is for fun. I don't know why I threw that in.
Yeah, I have a question. So if they do these videos on Pornhub, are the people putting them together going to be naked?
No. You guys are missing the point.
It does.
Pornhub is a place because they don't police their content the same way. Where you can put things that would get flagged other places. They don't turn them into porn gun videos.
Well, perhaps they might.
Or should.
Well, they might get more views from the Pornhub audience.
I'm just saying.
There's been Bill, you'll appreciate this. There's a continuing battle on Pornhub. Somebody pirated the first act of Hamilton. And they keep putting it on Pornhub. And then eventually the Hamilton rights holders find it and flag it and get it taken down, but they keep sticking it there.
Wayne, why do you tell him this? Because now he can say, Marjorie, I was just looking
Hamilton
for Hamilton.
He's seen Hamilton in person. He doesn't need to watch a grainy, pirated copy on Pornhub.
Look at his face.
Maybe.
Okay, I don't know. Yes, let's
don't log in right now.
Yeah, I know. No.
Well, we have two elder statesmen of politics threatening to beat each other up.
Now, who are they? Joe Biden and President Trump. Now, this one was started by Biden.
Yep.
All right. He's the one that tweets, I could beat if he, the, about the locker room talk. Remember Access Hollywood?
He said it in a speech.
Yeah, he was giving a speech.
Right.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, a guy like that talking like that in the locker room, I'd beat him up. And I could beat him up now. And
if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Okay, so how does Trump respond? Of course. This morning, in a tweet.
Crazy Joe Biden's trying to act like a tough guy. Actually, he is weak, both mentally and physically, and yet he threatens me for the second time with physical assault. Because he's right, because this is not the first time that Joe Biden said he'd like to take Donald Trump out behind the gym.
He did it
in 2016 at a Hillary Clinton rally.
So Biden goes on, or the Trump goes on, he doesn't know me, but he would go down fast and hard, crying all the way. Don't threaten people, Joe.
I love him.
I know it's a cliche sometimes to say, boy, wouldn't that make a great pay-per-view? But wouldn't that make a great pay-per-view?
And then it goes further because somehow we've gone from I'm going to fight you behind the gym, I've spent a lot of time in the locker room, to somehow the sheriff, ex-sheriff of Milwaukee, basically making a gay joke about Joe Biden.
That joke isn't funny anymore.
Because when Joe says, I've been in a lot of locker rooms my whole life, well, then you've got the ex-sheriff, David Clark of Milwaukee, saying, so, Joe, please tell us why and what you were doing hanging around all those locker rooms. Taking in the sights? Did the soap keep falling out of your hands, Joe?
Now, first of all, there's an original joke, isn't it?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, like, boy, clever aren't you.
Low-hanging fruit.
By half. But
another elder statesman weighs in.
You know, I love these Twitter wars. I love them. It's just, this is the best part of the internet.
We deserve truly so much better, but on the other hand, man, is it entertaining.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Yeah. Now, the city of Irvine thinks they deserve a lot better when it comes to fire protection.
I think we have an emergency.
Because the way the cities work, Orange County Fire Authority, and they have contracts with municipalities all over the area, because that's the way it works with LA PD, also LA County Sheriff. You have little towns around that, number one, it would cost them a fortune to have their own fire departments, their own police departments, because you have the chief, you have the lieutenants. So you just contract with a major county or municipality to cover you for the police, or in this case, the fire. Problem is, Irvine is saying, we're paying way too much. We're paying way, way too much. We're not getting the services that you are giving, or we are getting the same services you're giving these little towns, and we're subsidizing. We're getting out. And
it's going to be such a mess if they leave. There's going to be litigation even over who owns the fire stations that are in Irvine, because the city says they're ours, and the fire authority says, no, they're ours.
And Irvine then has to build its own fire department.
Yes.
Buying equipment, buying fire trucks, the bureaucracy. I mean, it's going to be crazy. So we'll see what happens on that one. Yeah, out of Orange County, a lot of controversy these days.
Oh, yeah.
Just a lot, don't you think?
Handel, I was thinking about you and your brother, actually, when I heard this story this week. The city council in L.A. has agreed to look at some ways of helping property owners when it comes to these seismic retrofits.
Help! I said,
because they're looking at 15,000 buildings. And if you're trying to retrofit a wood frame building, they say that it'll cost about $130,000.
No, it's that's a little bit crazy, depending on, I assume it's wood frame, massive building. Because if you go up to three stories, for example, you can do it with wood. You're allowed to do it with wood. After that is, now you have to start with the steel beams, and it gets pretty expensive.
But that goes into the millions, right? If you've got to retrofit that.
It can be insanely expensive. Because here's what happened in 2015. The city passes an ordinance requiring retrofitting of all the buildings that need it, high-risk buildings that could go down in an earthquake. I had one of those houses when I was living in the duplex before we built the Persian Palace. I had a house that was built 1927, duplex. And the way they were built in those days, and the house just sat on the foundation.
It wasn't bolted?
It wasn't bolted down.
Oh.
And so we had to, Marjorie and I had to retrofit, and there were grants out there, but it was way too, you had to give them tax returns, et cetera, so we just did it. It was $3,500 to bolt down our house and to establish a cripple wall, which means really reinforce the smaller wall or part of the wall that actually is right next to the foundation or right on top of it. So this can get insanely expensive to the point where actually you have to abandon the place. You can't afford it. Say, there's no way. I have a business. I own a four-story building, and I'm looking at $100,000. Where am I going to get that?
They have some programs that will help you recoup some of the money after you've done it, but they don't really have any way to help you up front.
Yeah, you get to write a check. And then how much of the money you get back? Well, it's going to be a tiny fraction, because if all of these buildings are a huge portion, huge percentage, and you go to the city, how much the city has to raise? What taxes are going to be raised to pay for the retrofitting? I don't think there is a program, a retrofit subsidy program, at least that I don't know of.
There's some programs that will reimburse you for part of the cost after you've done it, but
right
now
much?
There's nothing that will help you up front.
50%, some programs.
Yeah, but you've got to lay out all the money first, and they want to change that. They're looking at the Affordable Housing Trust Fund.
Oh, so there is So there is money there.
Well, that's not meant for this, but they're looking at pulling money out of that to do this.
All right.
I'm curious, Handel, though, going back to what you just said, though, about if somebody has a building that they say, I just can't afford it, I can't do it, and they have to just walk away from it, what then happens to that building? And is it then the city's responsibility to retrofit it?
No, because they still own the building.
Don't they condemn it?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to condemn it at this point. They're allowed X number of years for retrofitting.
No, if they don't, once the deadline passes.
Yeah, I don't know. And I can't imagine that it wouldn't be extended. I mean, there's no way I can imagine. Then a condemnation order comes in. You're right. They condemn the building. And what are you going to do?
Right.
So you don't pay taxes on it. And what happens is at that point, it's foreclosed on and the city does own it.
The city
would sell it. City would sell the building, and the building would go for such a low price that it would be worth buying and retrofitting, because they're going to virtually give it away for taxes. It's a mess. It's horrible.
So the LA wants money for earthquake retrofitting, and LA County Sheriff Jim McDonald wants money for sick inmates. More specifically, to transport sick prisoners to medical appointments outside of the jails. There's a company, it's actually an agency in the Department of Health Services called Correctional Health Services. That's their whole job. When an inmate gets too sick to be treated in the jail, they take them. And he says now they have to pull deputies away from regular duty to transport these people. So he wants to hire more people who will just transport them.
And, of course, again, tax dollars. Come up with some program. It used to be that the city, the county used to run, and it wouldn't run like this. But then the services that the county did and the city and the state did, a fraction, or even the feds, a fraction of what they offer or what was offered. For example, before Lyndon Johnson started Medicare. You know what Medicare costs? It's half the budget of the United States. And so we go way back, and, you know, it was fairly cheap to run. Eisenhower ran the government with a balanced budget. All right, let's move on.
Okay, so this one, the president has this plan, and he wants federal prosecutors to seek the death penalty in drug cases. Here's my question, though. First of all, how do you prove that? How do you prove that the drug that you sold to somebody killed them? And then also, with all of these states that don't have the death penalty or that, you know, don't seem to carry them out if they do have them, how do you ever go through with this?
Well, these are federal trials.
But what I'm saying is how...
And they have the death penalty. The feds already have the death penalty.
How do you prove that a drug dealer sold specifically...
It isn't really that. It's there's like four statutes that are connected to drug dealing that you can get the death penalty for, but all four of them require that you committed a murder in furtherance of your drug crime. And that's where the death penalty is on the table. I'm kind of surprised there are a lot of cases where somebody committed a murder for a drug crime or a drug enterprise that isn't already being prosecuted as death penalty.
I don't really know
where the gap is that they're looking
for. Yeah, I think what the president has said is that just traffickers at a certain level, and it's not a question of connecting a specific death to a specific trafficker. If you have drugs, if you're caught with drugs to a certain amount, let's say a pound of heroin or fentanyl, six pounds of fentanyl, just throwing out a number, that would be enough for the death penalty to be instituted. They just changed the statute.
Yeah, he wants to expand the death penalty to other crimes.
Right.
And I think this directive is anytime the death penalty is already on the table, go for it.
And but you're better off being tried by the state on a death penalty. Much better off. Because you have the state issue, then it bounces to the federal court, then it goes back to the state, and then it bounces back to the federal court, then back to the state. That's with 35 years to get someone to die, to execute someone in California, which, of course, we don't have the death penalty anymore, practically, de facto. It goes much quicker with the feds. Was the bombing of the Murrow Federal Office Building in Oklahoma, how long did that trial? Was it 5 years, I think?
Yeah, maybe a hair under.
And it's impossible anyplace else. In any
state. At the state level, you can never implement a death penalty that quickly.
All right.